Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Yes, yes, yes. Once again, this is Speak It Like You Think It Radio. I'm your host, Naj Know-It-All, once again. And today I'm joined by a new guest, a sports expert who I met on BTwice.net on a video show, The Roundtable, for those who haven't gotten around to checking it out. It's my man Ronnie from Memphis 10, man. What's up, Ray?
Man, what's up, man? What's going on, Naj, man? Appreciate you having me on here.
This is Naj. Hey, got to do it, man. I appreciate opinionated people, man. You always got opinion on stuff, and you speak your mind, so definitely had to have you on, man.
All right, no problem, man.
Man, the first thing I want to jump into was what you brought up as a precursor to the conversation, man, earlier when you talked about, you know, the idea of Tebow getting drafted pretty early, man.
Yeah.
Yo, the machine is working, man. They're doing what they can to get this man drafted early. I mean, first you started hearing about Jacksonville fans. They actually polled the fans on the phone, the season ticket holders, actually asked them.
That was stupid. I think that was stupid as hell. You shouldn't do that because, I mean, I think I know a lot about sports, but I'm a fan of it. You know, it's not my job to go out there and talent scout, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
It's a lot of people that NBA, NFL, or whatever that I was like, okay, man, yeah, dude, I think dude gonna be cold in the next level. But it's just what I see on TV, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's not, I don't see what behind the scenes. I don't see his workouts. I don't see his work ethic. And I think for them to poll just average Joe fans, I think that's just a lose-lose situation because, I mean –
But it sounds like a setup, though, because then if you draft him and he fails, you say, hey, season ticket holders, you asked for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, it's all about winning, you know?
Yeah.
If they draft him and he lose and they not, you know, he's still not winning or whatnot, I mean, them season ticket holders going to be pissed. And they going
to
want their money back. And they're not going to want to hit, you know what I'm saying? Even though it was maybe their fault that they went on draft. They might draft Tebow because they wanted Tebow. But I mean, it's the reason fans are fans.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We watch it to entertain. And I think that being in a situation where you do this for a job, like my dad, he owns a barbershop. He cuts hair. I mean, he's not going to ask some Joe Blow off the street how to just take the side of his head. You know what I'm saying? That ain't my
right.
job.
Right,
you know,
when you're the actual
job.
GM, your chips are in, man. That's your livelihood on the table.
Yeah, that's
a weird thing, man. But then with the Wonderlic test, man, we heard, okay, Tebow didn't score so well, but that doesn't really matter that much. When Vince Young had the low score, we was hearing like this man was the dumbest dude in America, and
he was
good because of
it. They wanted to get him a watermelon. Talking about Amon Hernandez, how stupid he was. I'm just being real, but I'm not even gonna pull his race card out of my back pocket, man. You already know what it's about, man. It don't need to be said because, I mean, first of all, the Wonderlic test. I mean, I don't know how much stock you want to put into that anyway, but I mean, the way they break it down and they trying to say that Tebow is not as, you know, it's not that good, but it's okay, though. But when Vince Young did it, you know, he dumb as a bag of rocks. But, I mean, I think the Wonderlic is overrated anyway.
Yeah,
like we said, I think the whole process of the combine, I just think it's kind of overrated. I think, you know, when they get the, like, I've never seen someone who jumps high. You know, like they trying to say that, oh my God, he the highest jumping quarterback. Who cares?
Right.
You know, like, who cares? How many times is a quarterback gonna jump? How many times? Unless he doing this little jump pass, he don't have to jump that far. I mean, jump that high. So I mean, I think they just trying to tweak everything about dude to make him ready. I mean, but it shows on the field. Like I said, I think he was a great college player, but I just don't see it translating to the next level, though.
Yeah, and to piggyback on what you were talking about, man, with the whole combine and everything else, man, when it comes down to it, it's the tail of the tape, man. you could say whatever. He ran this in the combine. If he was an unknown guy and he runs something crazy, now you're looking at him and you go to the tape and he made plays there, then okay, yeah, he got a shot. But if the tape ain't there, I don't care what he ran in the 40 or what he's lifting or what he jumped, like you said, man. It don't mean nothing, man. Can the guy play football?
That's all, I mean, that's what it's about, man. I mean, if people want to, you know, put a lot of stock into the 40-yard dash, and I mean, look, they're not having pads. They don't have pads on, so you really can't judge it. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people, like Chris Johnson, he's fast with pads and without. But there's other people that's just fast without pads. And you put them pads on, they don't know what's going on. They, you know, they get their ass knocked off one time, they'll slow them down.
Hell yeah.
They'll be running fast to the sideline. So
I guarantee you all these four sub 4.3 guys or whatever you want to call it, put them in pads and let them run the 40 or 50-yard dash against Steve Smith in pads.
Yeah.
Steve Smith, man, that dude don't lose no speed putting those pads on, man. Some of these guys, like you said, they lose a lot.
Yeah, and let's look at it. The game of football, how many times during the game are you going to run 40 yards straight?
Right.
The thing about it, quarterback running his 40 yards, I mean, he's dropping back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the person I know that runs 40 yards straight on a regular basis is Randy Moss.
Right. And how many Randy Mosses are there going to be out there?
That's a phenom. That's a freak by itself.
They've been looking for another Randy for 10 years. Hell.
Yeah. Not just him. He changed the position offensively and defensively. He changed it where it was Green Bay went out there trying to find 6'3", 6'4", cornerbacks.
Yep.
For him. You know what I'm saying? They played him two times a year. They like, hold up, we can't go this two times a year. He can't kill us like this. So, he changed the position major. But, I mean, the other positions, like, I mean, I watched the combine when it was on. They were kept showing it. And, like, Deion, they was, you know, was commentating. And I respect Deion. Deion, my favorite player of all time. And when he talked, I listened. Because I think he's the best cornerback of all time. I think it's no question. But they were doing drills, and Deion, for the cornerback and DBs, Deion was like, man, it's drill. It has no bearing. For that, you know what I'm saying? For him saying that, I put a lot of stock into what Deion said.
Yeah.
And for him saying that, I mean, that tell you right there, man. I think the combine is great for, like I said, for interviews of the players.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of mingling. I think that's great. But far as the physical attributes that a player possesses, I think, you know, you want to get their size and height, weight and all that. But far as, like, the 40-yard dash, see how high you can jump. Especially for a quarterback, that T-ball jumping thing, that was getting on my nerves, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, and I want to say, man, the interview process is very important because you're talking about a game to where more than likely you're shortening your life, you're shortening your health and everything else. So you got to make sure this guy is all right in the head, the fact that he wants to play football or that he loves football that much. You got to make sure this guy is all right in the head, man. Just the fact that he's willing to put it on the line like that and choose that as his career, you gotta make sure he's stable, man, because he might not be.
Yeah, hey, I'm talking about you hitting that on the head for the simple fact. It's one thing that I hate what people say. I used to catch myself saying it, but I sit back and think when they get a young athlete and they give him a lot of money, then they say, "I can't believe he did that with all that money." Why not? You know what I'm saying? Money's not gonna change him being stupid. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Money's just gonna magnify it.
Right.
Just going to give him the opportunity to go out and do more stupid things, to buy more frivolous items. I mean, so I think the interview process is very important because, I mean, you want to get this player a lot of money. You want to put a lot of stock into him. I mean, he's a commodity. And you can't just, you know, have somebody, you know, that's just not mentally there.
Yeah, man, because, I mean, when you look at it, man, there's a lot of executives and you know, little junior management people who get money at an early age and flame out on some type of, you know, coke-filled vacations to Vegas and everything else, man.
Yeah.
That happens, man. Money, yeah. I mean, you get that access to that money. If you're not right with it, man, things are going to happen. But it's not just football and basketball players.
No, it's not. Because the smartest person going to do one stupid thing with money. The smart,
right.
You know, You get, I'm talking about, you get a broke smart dude.
Mm-hmm.
You get him millions and millions and millions of dollars. He don't do one stupid thing. So just imagine a stupid dude with no money. Man, please, he's gonna go crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man, I want to throw this out, man, because I know you're a guy who messes with Twitter, man. The boy Colin Cowherd, man, he was on his regular little garbage rants the other day, and he got on some 70% of NFL and NBA players are broke by the time they're done playing. I mean, which, you know, it's a garbage statistic. Of course, it's not true. Not no damn 70%. I could say a lot of them, but not no 70. And the boy Ocho took exception, man. Ocho Cinco went at him on Twitter, man. He clowned dude for a good couple of hours.
I remember a couple of months ago when they were talking about Antoine Walker. I don't know if you remember. They were saying how broke he is. And he had accumulated over his career. I can't give a number on how much, percentage of NBA players are broke. But,
right.
I mean, you know, you do have these players that get it. I had a friend, Sean Williams, who got drafted by the Indiana Pacers a couple of years ago. He went to the University of Memphis. He was a Conference USA freshman of the year. And
yeah, I remember him.
Yeah. I played AAU with him. And he got to the league, he got his money, but he messing with the wrong people. And, you know, he's been indicted a couple of months ago. He just got indicted on some, you know, some drug things or whatnot, or guns, something he got indicted on. But when I see him in the streets, I used to see him with his jewelry on and always buying something.
Mm-hmm.
In the car. So, I mean, if a player is doing that on a regular basis, because it's only so many players that are getting LeBron
Max
James,
right,
yeah,
right.
D-Wade, Kobe, that
right.
type money. You know, you still have your people that, you know, $1 million is, you know, it's a substantial amount. But if you're giving that $1 million and you just splurging out on these frivolous items, you know, with the jewelry, you trying to keep up with the Joneses. I mean, yeah, I could see that, but, I mean, I think a lot of people, a lot of these players have bad investments. You know, they want to open up these restaurants just because they
right.
think it's the right thing to do, but they're not putting in the work behind it to see what goes into the restaurant or what goes into the theme park or whatever, or a club. You know, they just throw money in it. If I throw my name on it, I'm going to make a lot of money. And I think
right.
a lot of people get messed up on that, bad investments. But, I mean, Colin Cowherd, he's
a clown with it, man. Like, I lost a lot of respect for that dude. Like, I give it to him. Like, he has a good voice. He knows how to conduct a radio show, interview, everything. But just some of the stuff he says, man, I really don't respect that guy anymore. But the whole thing of it was, it fits his view of athletes, because he has this kind of, I don't know if it's a petty jealousy or what it is, but he has this kind of disdain for athletes. Like before, a couple weeks before that, he was talking about how, golfers are smart. You know, they go to Stanford, they go to this and that. The guys in other sports, they're not smart. He's like, we have to edit them when they come on our show. They can't talk. So, I mean, that's the type of guy he is. So.
Yeah, he's a shock jock, man. You know, it's, you know, him and Skip Bayless. I mean,
yeah.
They say stuff. I mean,
Skip talks on an individual basis. He thinks
yeah.
something about a certain dude. He says that about that dude. He doesn't try to throw it into the realm of NFL players are this or NBA players are this.
Yeah, he won't do it to that extent. He'll do it another way. See, Colin, he'll probably, like you say, generalize everybody, stereotype, you know, his whole group. Skip going to go after the top player or the top thing that everyone likes.
Right.
And going to bash it. But no,
but I ain't got a problem with that, though, because at least it's honest. He don't like the guy.
You know,
he don't like what the guy does. Hey, that's his opinion.
I don't have a problem with your opinion, but when you're finding things, like, you know what I'm saying, like when you're just nitpicking, you know,
he's petty.
I mean, because, you know, I'm a Laker fan, and he'll say, oh, the Lakers lost last night to, you know, Cleveland, and he a Spurs guy. The Spurs get blowed out by 25
right.
to the Clippers. Oh, the Spurs, they still going to overthrow the Lakers. I mean, you said he's biased. and he's just trying to nitpick on what, you know what I'm saying, the popular vote is, and he was just trying to go against it. I mean, some of that stuff, you know, you can't believe what he's saying, man. When he said Asian peas is overrated, he's saying stuff like that, man, come on.
He gets on some BS a lot, man. He gets on some BS. The other night, man, you know, switching topics, we had the Pacquiao and Joshua Clotty fight, man. Man, I sent out a couple of texts telling people about the homie had to fight at the crib. Man, wasn't nobody really trying to go to it. Nobody was stressing it, man. I mean, it wasn't a big deal to people. To the point my man had to charge basically $20 for the fight to try to do something, man, because I mean, nobody was digging it, man. Were you interested?
To be honest, nah. I mean, I was interested in the fact I want to know the results of it.
Right.
But, I mean, unless you're a diehard boxing fan, you know, which is very rare these days. Clyde, he came up through the ranks. He had some good fights with some other guy. But the whole sport of boxing these days, it's slow. I mean, it's not good. It's garbage. And if it's not Pacquiao and Mayweather, what people want to see, I mean, it's going to be hard to stop somebody from going to do something else to come see Pacquiao fight Clyde.
I think boxing has shot itself in the foot one too many times. And it's to the point now where it's like, okay, everybody else has consolidated and they've made a league out of their sport. Boxing has to do the same because they can't survive doing this whole one fight every 6 months and hope it's a mega fight. They can't get by with it. They're going to have to make a league and really get it, you know, get things right with it. But, yeah, right now, the interest ain't there, man, like you said. It's just not there.
Yeah, it's there. I mean, when the biggest thing going on in boxing is talking about a fight that's not going to happen.
Right.
You know, that's the interest. Like, people watching this Pacquiao fight and talking about the Floyd and Pacquiao fight. This is not even happening.
You know what I'm saying?
So, you got a problem with it. I mean, that's a real big problem. So
especially, it's not
a lot of Americanized heavyweights.
Oh, heavyweights.
Oh, man, what are you talking about?
What happened
to him?
I don't know. We ain't got nothing for the Klitschko's. I know that, man.
Yeah, Klitschko. I mean, I seen Rockman. He lucked up and knocked Lennox Lewis out of time. Man, he is knocked out every Friday night. Something happened to him, you know. And then my favorite fighter is Roy Jones. Stop it, Roy.
Man, public service announcement, man. Roy Jones, the family of Roy Jones, please. Talk to Roy. Tell Roy not to get in the ring again, man. I looked up to Roy as a youngster, man. Love watching him fight, man, and I hate to see him get beat up now, man. It's not right, man. Stop letting that man fight. Let him make another rap album or something, man. Just don't let him fight, man.
I'm going to tell you, see, what Roy messed up at, boxing is a hungry man sport.
Yeah.
I'm talking about any other sport, you got to be the hungriest because you got somebody in there when they're ring just trying to whoop your ass.
Right.
To the hospital. You know what I'm saying? You can't take off.
And right.
I think Roy was just so superior to everyone that was in his class. You remember sometimes Roy would get through playing a basketball game in the USBL or whatever and drive to the arena to fight. And then he started making the rap albums, then fight. And then,
right.
You know, then he started fluctuating his weight, trying to go to heavyweight, then light heavyweight. I mean, then I think he forced himself to try to stay main. Well, he just lost his hunger because, I mean, and he started getting his ass whooped. I'm talking about, man, he needs to
That one in
off,
Australia,
man.
that first round TKO, man, that was ugly, man.
Yeah, he needs to stop, man. I mean, him, then I hear about Evander Holyfield and Tyson trying to fight again. Man,
come on, man. We don't want to see that.
Evander Holyfield is a human punching bag now, man.
Yeah, man. Hey, Evander got bills to pay, man.
Yeah,
that's why he out there. I don't know, but But I don't want to see that either, man. I don't want to see Vanda out there either, man. He's a great, great fighter, man. Done a lot for boxing. And I don't want to see the man go out bad later on in life. So I hope he hangs it up.
Me too, man, because it's sad. It's getting sad.
It is, man.
No joke.
Now, while we're still on this entertainment portion, man, because we really getting it in on entertainment, man. We ain't gotten to the big tourney yet. I got to throw this. I don't know if you were able to see the video yet. The boy Chameleon there, the rapper from Houston. Put a video up on YouTube explaining him meeting Michael Jordan, man. Were you shocked that Mike acted like that, or were you shocked?
You know what? I don't know. I mean, to a certain extent, I was shocked where, you know, when he was talking about his friend said they used to work in Michael Jordan's cleaning
karma, classes.
Yeah, yeah. And they were saying Michael Jordan stayed smoking weed and all that. Now, that right there surprised me more than anything. I don't know why that did. I mean, I know he smoked cigars and all that, but I guess that smoking weed thing was like, what? Like, it's just kind of too, like, huh?
Right.
That just kind of threw me for a loop. But as far as him being an asshole to that extent of, man, I don't care who you are, man, I that was kind of surprising. But, I mean, I hear celebrities like that. I hear some on like that. You know, I don't know. You know, what's in the celebrity Kool-Aid to got him acting like that? But, I mean, for real, man, I know if I was in that position, I guess it's just in my heart. I couldn't do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I couldn't do that because, like Chameleon really put money into Michael Jordan's pocket some way or another. Some way or another, he bought some Jordan. Some way or another, he bought Michael Jordan jerseys growing up. Some way or another, he used to play the basketball game. Some way or another, he put money in Michael Jordan's pocket. And for you to just, you know, to slap the man down like that was whack. I don't like that.
Yeah, it kind of I don't know, gave me more of an idea of what I already think as far as me being a fan of Jordan the player, but not Jordan the person. And, you know, I didn't want it to be like that, but, I mean, it kind of just made it a little more official. Like, that's how I felt anyway with his stance on, you know, his shoes and everything back in the day. So,
yeah,
it is what it is with Mike, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, like I said, it's not too surprising because you hear about these celebrities like that all the time kind of stuff. But, man, they just, it's assholes, I guess. You get so much money, man. I mean, that's just point blank, period. I mean, you got some that's cool down to earth, and you got other ones that just act like that. I don't think Chameleon is lying about it. I'm gonna put it like that.
I don't either. It definitely sounds plausible. I definitely did not think there's any kind of thing of him wanting to hype up the story or lie on it, man. I believe it, man. Switching gears again, local news, man. The boy Paul Hewitt down there at Georgia Tech, man, does he have to win that first NCAA game to keep his job?
I think so. I'm going to say yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Because of his skin tone. I think that's why he has to win it. I'm just being real. I think that's why. I mean,
yeah, you get a shorter leash. But then at the same time, you can't keep saying, well, next year when I get talent and then get the talent and not perform.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Yeah, because, I mean, because he was a solid coach. But especially in the year where the ACC was really down, I mean, he really has to at least get that first win. He can't get knocked out of the first round. He has to get that first win. I mean, it's just, I mean, but if he was if he was another race, it wouldn't be.
He'd have a
long leash. Even if he would lose his game and get fired, he would find a job next week.
Yeah.
Like, the phone would be ringing off the hook. Like, he would, but if he loses his job, he might be coaching at your local high school.
this is my image of Paul Hewitt, just from watching him over these years, how his program's been. If he does lose it, I think he'll get on at a mid-major somewhere. And I think that's better for him because I think he's better with teaching and coaching guards and running that fast break, high pressure defensive system. I don't think he's very good with half court offense and big men. Because, like, you've seen Chris Bosh really didn't shine too much down there. You've seen the same thing with the young boy Favors.
Yeah.
But when he had those teams with a lot of guards, man, hey, he got to the national championship game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of times, though, the college game as a whole is more guard-oriented.
Yeah.
And, you know what I'm saying? And I think it's coming into the NBA now. Because you see, you can name a lot of good young guards in the NBA. A lot of them. But when it comes to the big man, I mean, to go back to Michael Jordan, the player, I think that's what, and I wasn't a Jordan fan, like, growing up, like, oh, Michael Jordan. But I respected him being Michael Jordan. You know, I respected him the best. And
right.
I think what made him the best was that he was dominating an era where centers were a mainstay. Like, okay, you got Patrick Ewing, you got Shaq when he was younger, you got the King, you got David Robinson. I mean, you know, you had centers like, damn. But now, I mean, you got Dwight Howard, who's a great defensive presence, but his offense is eyesore sometimes.
Yeah, that running hook across the lane.
And Shaq is on his last leg.
Yeah.
You have Andrew Bynum. I don't know if he would ever be what the Lakers think he's going to be.
He scares me because, you know, there's those guys who just are always all about potential. And then you look up, they've been playing for 10 years, and they're still talking about his potential.
Yeah. I think that's what – I don't know what it is about Andrew Bynum. He's an enigma right now to me. People saying he had – I heard someone say he's like a new age Kareem. Man, are you serious?
What?
I need to applaud the drugs that you're getting because they are really they are really putting you on a new level. What's going on? And so I think by it being the more guard oriented like that, and the college game is like that, I think Paul Hewitt is just a product of he's a coaching what the game is about, which is running up and down. I mean, look at North Carolina teams.
They got one of the best front lines you can see, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But the reason they're not good is the point guard play.
Yeah.
When they won that championship last year, Ty Lawson. When they won a couple years ago, Raymond Felton. I mean, you got to have a point guard that can stabilize the team. And even when Florida won it with those back-to-back championships, you know, Joakim Noah was the face of the team and all this. But, I mean, you still had the point guard in Torian Green that was kind of controlling things on the court.
Yeah, he got it done, man.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is with the college game. I mean, it's just a guard-driven country.
And when you look at it from that perspective, that kind of tells you where Georgia Tech's season was going to go. They would be up and down. Sometimes they play real good, sometimes bad, because their guards, I mean, they're just really not top-notch ACC caliber guards.
Yeah. I mean, that's why Duke is where they're not. Shire, I mean, he's better than the other guys of the ACC. And the ACC is, I'm talking about, it's horrible. Tar Heels are heroic. They're just horrible.
There's no way. I got to say, though, there's no way they should be that bad, though. I got to bang on Roy on that a little bit.
I blame Roy Williams for a number of reasons. I blame him for letting John Wall leave the state of North Carolina. I hear people say, well, people didn't get along with John Wall. John Wall got in trouble because I don't – and Roy Williams wanted to stop talking to him. I don't care.
Yeah, but you know, my man Worldwide West, you know, they say him and Calipari. They tight, so you know if that's his man.
I agree with it. I mean, that's strong, but just try then.
Right.
As a North Carolina fan, just try. When you're not trying, that means you ain't trying to win. I don't have a problem with losing.
Right, right.
I have
just
a problem with
recruit.
Not trying to win.
Because if you try to recruit him, even with, you know, the influences everywhere else going at John Wall, that Carolina blue, that is a big – that's a big factor. You never know who you could get if you really try.
In your backyard?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know him growing up as a kid. in North Carolina. He has to be either you or has to be either Duke or North Carolina fan. One or the other.
Right.
And
that home team stuff works. I mean, it works, man. I remember Illinois thought they had Eric Gordon signed, sealed, and delivered. Last minute, he decided to stay home and play at Indiana.
Yeah, I mean, you can't tell me if John Wall goes to a game one time and just Michael Jordan just walk in the gym at a high school with John Wall game. Michael Jordan just come in the gym, they sit down and leave. Man, what a bigger impression that would have. But not, I
right.
guess, you know, I don't know. I guess that's why I'm sitting down here talking to you and, just, you know, they coaching at North Carolina. They must know something we don't know.
Hey, man, even if they do know something, man, so what? It's got to be real, man. You got to call people out for everything. They got to be accountable, man. I don't care what job. Same way people criticize the president, vice president, governor, senator, whatever. Hey, you got to come with it, man. If you're not doing something right, somebody got to say something, man. Like you said, he let that man walk out the state without trying to get him.
Yeah.
There is something wrong with that. Got it.
Look at North Carolina's team. Larry Drew is not that good.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not. I watch North Carolina game. That's
he's
my team. I'm a diehard Tar Heel.
He's well connected. I'll give him that.
Yeah. Larry Drew just so. He doesn't put any pressure on the defense. He's so ho hum. He's turnover prone.
On a good Carolina team, be honest, would Larry Drew take off his shooting shirt? Like, say, you know, the Vince Carter era or the Ty Lawson era.
No,
he'd really
no.
take off that
no.
that shooting shirt. He'd
no.
be on the team, but, you know,
yeah,
he'd be the respected guy, works hard in practice.
The Strickland guy comes out the bench and plays better than Larry Drew. I don't know why he wasn't getting more playing time than he was.
Yeah, I'd throw him into the fire as far as I'm concerned.
You can't do no work. What you got out there now is not working.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? What you have out there now is not working. And for you to start off that good, being Michigan State and, you know, hanging in there with the top teams at the time,
mm-hmm.
for you to just lose in every game like this, that's not North Carolina-like. Like, I think the team just gave up. I really did.
Yeah, they lost confidence, and it looked like they did start to give up, man. It was a surprising season. I still can't believe it went down like that. But since we're going on NCAA, man, let's get into this tourney, man. I'm looking at this bracket, man. Duke got a pretty clear path, man, besides Villanova down in that bracket. They got a good look from the committee.
Duke's schedule looks pretty easy, but – the problem with that is I don't think Duke is that good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
cold shooting night, they might be in trouble.
Yeah, looking at that bracket, I mean, yeah, it looks
pretty easy. You got Villanova, Cal, Baylor, and Louisville, Texas A&M.
I mean, I think in the second round, if they meet Louisville in the second round, Louisville might give them a run. I think because Rick Pitino, I mean, he's a great coach, you know.
And they're going to come after him.
Yeah, they go and they battle test, you know.
Yeah.
And Big East had you battle test like that. I've been hearing a lot of praise about Baylor. I don't think it's that good. I hadn't filled out my bracket yet. I'm still overlooking it. But my favorite before the bracket started a couple of weeks ago, I would have to say Syracuse. Syracuse is right now, without looking at, you know, who they have to play and all that stuff, I think as far as the team aspect, I think they're just as good as the other teams, the other top teams. But I think what really sets them apart is their 2-3 zone. When they put that 2-3 zone on people.
That zone's a monster.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they long, athletic, and if you're not hitting, it's a long night. It's a long night, and they're going to start running like it's another Big East team that's battle test. I like Kansas also. I like Kansas because of Sharon Collins, his leadership and experience in this time.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get Kentucky. Their demise is the free throws.
Free throws and their shooting, period, like three-point shooting.
Yeah.
They've had some games where they couldn't hit nothing.
I don't think people – what's the saying? If you don't know history, you're bound to repeat it or something like that.
right.
I watched the SEC tournament, the championship game. dude, they were just missing all their free throws. Like, there was one point that Cousins was like 3-for-13 and with an air ball at a free. And I'm like, man, this is another Calipari team, just like the Memphis team. They had a lot of athleticism. They could run with anybody. But when it was time to shoot, hit them free throws with CDR, Derrick Rose, and Darnell Mack and all them other guys, they couldn't make them.
They couldn't get it done, man.
And I see it. Like, we saw it with Duke when they had Jay Williams. He would miss, like, he would hit every shot on the court. But when it came to them free throws, he missed it, and they were knocked out. And I see that happening to Kentucky. I don't know where yet. Like I said, I got to fill out my bracket, but I see it happening.
They got West Virginia and Marquette, I guess, as the main threats over there in the East for Kentucky. Now, West Virginia, for them, I think is a tough matchup if they are to see each other. I think they'll give them some problems. But we'll see. Kansas got Georgetown and Ohio State in their section. I don't think Ohio State scares Kansas because I think they have so much talent that they can kind of negate the boy who we said a couple weeks ago the best player in college basketball.
Yes.
Right. So that would be something. Syracuse has got Kansas State, and I got UTEP down there. I know there will be a problem, and Butler. So I guess the brackets, they're not that one-sided. Everybody has a route that's not as hard as they used to be.
Yeah, that's going to be real. This whole college basketball season has been kind of just lost something.
Yeah.
You know, it just ain't been as captivating as other seasons. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's going on that – I mean, you have a high-profile freshman in John Wall. You know, you have a dominant, pretty dominant team in Kansas. But it's just something about this season that's not sexy. You know what I'm saying? It's just not
– Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
I would argue, of all the talented teams we talked about, that – Texas is just as good as those teams, but they're coached by the great Rick Barnes, who no matter how much talent he gets, no matter what, he's going to trick it off. I mean, that's what happens every year. He's going to do it again this year, but, hey, he can recruit. I give him that.
He can recruit with the best of them.
He just can't coach.
I mean, you can look at T.J. Ford, Durant, I mean, obviously, Daniel Gibson when he was coming out. LaMarcus Aldridge, he got some boys to come down there, but
yeah, you just can't get it done for some reason. And I don't mean you have to cut down the nets as far as getting it done. I mean Final Fours and championship games, like, or you don't lose to a team that you're better than. That's how I consider getting it done as far as being a great coach. And I just don't see it with him.
Yeah, he it's some. I don't know what his coaching style, what's wrong with it, but he, I don't know what it is, Rick. You got to step the game up. Yeah, he has too much talent down there. I mean, Texas is a talent-laden pool, and then he still can get players from everywhere else.
Yep.
Like Louisiana and Georgia and stuff, but he's still like, I don't know, he's just not putting it together.
Yeah, man. No love for Barnes, man. We'll see how this joint pans out, man. I guess we can get into the bracket next week more, because I haven't filled out mine either, man. I just took a nice long glance at it.
Yeah.
Looked at some of the favorites, but we really have to get into some of that next week, man. But wanted to get into some NBA and NFL before we get out of here. I just want to say this name to you, though, man, and tell me what you think about the situation going on. Jake DeLome, sir.
Jake DeLome is.
Is he watching?
He's an overachiever.
Uh-huh.
I think his overachievement, if that's a word, is over.
It's going to be a word on speaking like you think it.
Yeah.
I agree. It's over.
Yeah. I mean, because those years when he was good.
Yeah, he was good a couple of years. He was good.
Yeah, he was good. But I think he was good. That defense was great.
Yeah.
You remember when they had Peppers, Jenkins. And, you know, when what's the man, the linebacker that he died, but I think he was like a coach for them.
Sam Mills.
Yeah, Sam Mills had, he had them right. So, when they went to the Super Bowl, had the Super Bowl run against the Patriots. Like, they had a great defense, especially their front four was great. And he wasn't really put in a position to be a gunslinger. But, I mean, I don't see him going to Cleveland where they're not good.
Right.
You know, they don't have a Steve Smith. They don't have a D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart. I don't see them. I see another sad season for him.
Yeah, and I don't understand that move. You give him $7 million? Really? A guy who I mean, Carolina cut him and still have to pay him, what, $11 or $12 million this year?
Yeah.
They still cut him.
Yeah.
That's to the point. That's how bad he was last year.
I mean, if I was a Cleveland Brown fan, I don't know how would I feel because I wouldn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't. You tell me, okay, it's going to be either Brady Quinn or Derrick Anderson. Okay, we get Derrick Anderson out of there. Okay, Brady Quinn, you our guy. Then he gets traded. Yeah,
to a backup fullback and a sixth rounder. So you just didn't want him.
Yeah. Then you got just getting Seneca Wallace. Man, are you serious? Seneca Wallace, Drake Long, come on, man. Like, what is going on? What are you doing?
And just so people know, man, we keep it real, man. We're not awesome. We like Mike Vick because he's a black dude. Dudes like Mike Vick because they see what he can do as a mobile quarterback.
He won.
Seneca Wallace don't get the same love, man. He's mobile, but he ain't no baller like that.
Vick, people can knock him all they want to. Dude won.
Yeah.
He went into Green Bay when it was impossible.
Against the great Brett Favre, I will say.
Yeah, when it was snowing. In the playoff, do you know, at that time, people don't realize, at that time, I don't know if Green Bay lost like this.
I don't think. Hosting a home game, I think
I was talking about when it was like the 7 degrees, he went in there by himself, basically, and won that game. He took him to the NFC Championship game before the Falcons. I mean, dude just, he knows how to win. Like, he's in Virginia Tech. He won. He knows how to win. And I mean, I hate people knocking because it's not the conventional way of throwing for 300 yards.
Right.
He wins. You know what I'm saying? However it's done, he wins. And if you could give Jake DeLome all this money, who threw like 18 to 20 interceptions last year.
Yeah. With that running game on top of that. You got to throw that in there, too. Running game and Steve Smith. You've never seen Vic with either one of those, a running game like that or a receiver like that.
It's not just last year. What about the last playoff game they played? Where he played against the Cardinals who like 5
interceptions. Oh, man. Yeah, man.
I mean, man,
that had to be a hard way to walk in the locker room, man.
Oh, man, yeah. So I don't understand. I'm glad I'm not a Cleveland Brown fan right now. I mean, if your priority is – you know, opening the bank for Joshua Cribbs and getting rid of your quarterbacks and getting in career backups and a guy that just doesn't have it anymore. Who are your receivers? Rubisky? Who are the receivers?
Yeah, Rubisky and the boy from Georgia, Masakwa.
Oh, my. Okay. Did they
get it?
Who are the running backs? They got Jerome Harris. They just signed someone in.
Harrison, and I'm not sure who the other back is, but I guess Harrison is going to be the primary this year after, you know, the way he ended last year. But, hell, we've seen that before from a lot of running backs have a hot streak at the end of a year. That don't mean he's going to be that dude next year.
That don't mean a damn thing. He'll hit that wall so quick because folks going to be ready for him now. So, yeah, he'll hit that wall.
A year ago is a strange thing in NFL, man. It's not like other sports. A year ago can be a Pro Bowler to getting cut. Hey, look at LT.
Now, I'm gonna tell you the biggest decline I ever seen is Sean Alexander.
Oh man, and now you see why he fought so hard for that money, man. That dude, he knew he was on borrowed time, boy. It got ugly quick out there.
I'm talking about he was MVP. At least LT was MVP, and he gradually went down.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, Sean Alexander just went down. I'm talking about the Redskins were hurting their running back. They signed him and cut him like the next day. Yeah, he got that money, and he was semi-retired when he got his money.
LT and Thomas Jones, all them dudes need to call Sean Alexander. You know you cost me a couple mil, man. What you did, man. You took change out of my pocket, man.
Yeah, man. I don't understand what the Jets are doing.
Yeah, I'm kind of, I don't know. I give them this, though. Maybe LT will be able to run it a little bit with him and Sean Green, but yeah, I don't know why they gave up on Thomas Jones so quick.
Yeah, I want to say, like, it's not. I'm a big LT fan. I just don't understand why they let Thomas Jones go and give LT the same money that Thomas Jones almost got at the Chiefs.
Right, just for continuity and for chemistry. Just keep the guy because that's showing the other players you work hard, you will be rewarded. You know what I mean? If you're a soldier out here, we will reward you.
I mean, he has a little more, if I had to say, he has a little more juice in his tank than LT because LT has been the man every team, every year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Thomas Jones wasn't lying. I mean, he was a high draft pick coming out of Virginia. But if you remember, the beginning of his career, he was kind of – considered a bust in Arizona and stuff. It went into the Chicago the Super Bowl year where
he changed his game though. He decided he made a point he decided I'm gonna get stronger and I'm gonna get this guaranteed 3 and 4 and if something big is there I'll take it. But I'm not trying to bounce stuff and all that.
He was the scat back coming out. Yeah, he was more of a trying to shift the guy.
Yeah, he changed his game up, man, and it gave him a long career. But, hey, like I said last week when we was talking about dude, man, hey, man, you can't feel too bad for a dude that got making good at the crib, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Ain't too bad for him, man. He's doing pretty well, I guess.
Yeah, got that second it. That's all I got to say, I'm second it.
Yeah, man, so, I mean, that's a bad one, man, but, yeah. We've been running this thing for about 45, man, so we're going to get out of here in a minute. But was there any statements or topics you wanted to throw out here before we got out, man?
Man, let me see. We didn't talk about the tourney. We didn't talk about Tebow. We didn't talk about one thing I do want to talk about. Just touch on a little bit. You know, these comments of by the Torrey Hunter and –
man, the boy Torrey Hunter, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's really not touching on exactly what he said, but I think the lack of – my point about the lack of black players baseball, it might be, underlining where they go to get the Dominicans for cheap or whatnot. I don't know.
But black kids don't want to play baseball.
That's my point. That's why I'm like,
they don't care about baseball.
I mean, let's just look at it demographically. You can't play too much baseball in the conditions that black people live. Let's just be real. All thing you can do is, you got the concrete outside, you're going to have a goal outside. You want to move. You know what I'm saying? Or you going to get some
football.
Friends to play football. Just bring your – that's all you need. With football, with baseball, you got to have – get your bat, glove, and get a couple of people to come around. No, we don't want to do that. I don't want to sound like, it's just black bashing black people, but baseball takes too damn long.
It's true. And I got to say this too, man, which – I think this is a big, like I said, I think your first point is a bigger element than the fact about having the facilities and the equipment. The fact that they don't want to play it, I think that's such a big factor. Because if you don't got the stuff, you will. Like, if you really love a sport, you get a stick and y'all will be out there with no gloves playing in the street if you really love the sport. You see dudes put a crate up on a garage and play basketball, man.
Yeah.
If you don't love the sport, you don't care. And I don't think the kids care, man. I think Torrey Hunter's way off on that, man.
Yeah, I think that it's just, like you said, man, I mean, it just takes too long. You got to go single A, double A, triple A.
Yeah.
You may get it done there. basketball, I mean, hey, man, you got 1 year in college. You might can do it. You're great. You know what I'm saying? You can go through that. Football, hey, I got a chance to go from college, play major college football.
Mm-hmm.
BCS with a big buck set, they still going to be getting a lot of money. I can go to the NFL. Baseball, man, we don't keep up with that college World Series and all. There be so many World Series. I don't know what the World Series. Like,
you're
I don't know what the championship. The college World Series. I don't know what's going on. And I think a lot of black kids identify with basketball more, with football more. Because,
mm-hmm. right.
you know, it's quicker. You try to get out. And that's the quickest thing they see.
I'm telling you, man, the media, they do a good job of putting on a good front of acting how relevant baseball is. They go by most of the time the gates and all that. But, man, when you really, really get into it, man, baseball's just not popular like it used to be. They try to put it ahead of the NBA or whatever. Hey, America's NFL, NBA, then baseball. They don't want to admit it, but, I mean, it's the truth, man. It's the truth. I can't tell you the last time I seen a whole baseball game.
Look, I used to work at a baseball stadium, man. It's just not like baseball's just kind of boring. If you ask me, I'm not, you know, it's not a fact. It's just my opinion. Because
right,
you
right.
can stand out there, if you're in the left field, it's dangerous. You can just stand out there and do nothing.
right.
You know what I'm saying? It's dangerous that the ball might just not come your way. And you just out there playing with the butterflies out there.
Yeah, but what other sport can you do that?
Yeah, I remember they asked, what's his name, Barry Bonds one time, why play baseball? He said, that's the only sport that you only got to be 30% good at, and then you get paid. And it's just, it's not appealing. It's not, I'm going to break it down to you like this. We as black people, and I can say it because I'm black.
Mm-hmm.
We want to show our athleticism more. I mean, it's just fact. You know what I'm saying? It's just fact. I mean, I've been around and I've played sports all my life, and I've seen when my flag football team, we going against an all-white flag football team or any other race, we going to try to outrun them, outjump them, and they're gonna try to outwit you. Baseball, you can't really you really can't just show too much. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? Like I said, you're gonna be standing there, and I'm not saying, you know, it's right or wrong. I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean,
right.
we got to. And I'm not saying that because we are African roots, we
right.
are baboons. No, it ain't saying nothing like that. I'm just being real.
Yeah, this ain't no generational type thing. It's just a thing of showmanship. Certain community likes showmanship. Another community don't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a, you know what I mean? It's not a real complicated issue like people, like you say something about it, people try to make it into one and, you know, they want
to
call you a racist.
I'm saying we're animals.
Right.
No, it's not that at all. It's just, you know, when you, like I said, football and basketball is easier. It seems more fun. You're more involved. I'm gonna use that. You're more involved in those sports than the other sports.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can do more in those sports. Yeah.
Definitely more football than baseball, man. Like you said, man, the love just ain't there for it, man. So Torrey Hunter can cry all he wants to about it. Black kids don't want to play baseball, man, for the most part, man. That's just what it comes down to. And his other comment about Dominicans and all that, I understand the part about them being, you know, a form of a cheap labor as far as baseball is concerned. But the other part, acting like there's a difference, like, Dominicans and all these other people, they have the same roots that you have, man. Who be talking about these dudes like they're not the same as you, man? I don't know where that came from.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, they're in rough conditions. I mean, like you said, if you want to play it, them Dominicans, they're in rough conditions. They're in slums. They'll get
sick. You see dudes making gloves out of milk cartons.
Yeah,
stuff,
they'll
man.
Get sick in a ball and play stick ball, and they'll be next Albert Pujols right there.
Yeah.
But
we're
young
thing, man.
Yeah, and we as young black people, we don't, you know, we want We want to be like LeBron.
Yeah, we want to play basketball, football, man. And to me, there's nothing wrong with that. And
yeah.
I think that's kind of why boxing declined too, because like you were talking about as far as certain stuff being a hell of a lot harder and a hell of a lot less guaranteed as far as making it. As a boxer, man, you got to have a serious leap of faith to think that you're going to make it, you know what I mean, to be a top-notch world-class boxer. As
yeah.
a basketball, football player, you got an idea when you're growing up, getting a little older, seeing how good you are and how good other people are. You got an idea of, you know, how far you can go.
Yeah.
I knew what my ceiling was, man. I knew at a certain point I was a Division I bench sitter, Division II starter. You know what I mean? I knew that.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? Had to accept that. That's what it is, man.
Yeah, I mean – unless something happens in baseball where it's more appealing to young people, young black people, especially since that's what the big topic is, why black people are not playing. Unless something happens where, hey, man, that looks like it's fun. That looks like, man, let's go do that right now. You know.
And let's be honest about MLB, their whole little agenda with their whole little thing of we're going to try to get more black kids into baseball. They want black kids in baseball because young blacks, teenagers and everything are the tastemakers of society as far as dress, shoes, clothes, things like that, and things that you can buy, merchandise. That's why they want the black kids back into baseball.
Yeah.
They want them driving that dollar like they do for football jerseys and basketball jerseys and shoes. That's what they want.
Yeah.
But, hey, it ain't happened since those old King Griffey shoes, man. It just ain't going to happen, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like this, a kid can't see himself just standing out there digging his nose into the outfield. Waiting for a ball to pop up that there. You know, it just ain't fun to me to watch. I mean,
hey,
the only time I'm going to get into baseball is
here,
yeah. Huh?
I done been in my share of Braves games down here, man. The most fun I had depended on who I was with and if we were drinking.
See, yeah. They ain't got nothing to do with the game.
Nothing to do with the game, man.
Yeah. But you go to a, you know, Lakers Cavs game, you might just, you just sitting there, oh, man, that's a good move. That's fun. That's entertaining.
I can drink a soda at a basketball, football game, man. At a baseball
yeah.
game, I'm definitely paying a little $7 or $8 for the little beer, man.
And I remember, like, when we was debating a couple of weeks ago on the round table when we were talking about the all-star festivities of the bitch. I can't see how someone would say baseball.
Yeah, I don't know how that man said that. But we got to have him on to defend himself, so I don't want to go in on him. But,
I don't know how he said that, man.
I honestly don't know how he said that, man. I have a home run derby on my DVR. I've got an old dunk contest with Jordan and Dominique on there.
I'm being real with you. We agreed that this dunk contest this year was the wackest.
In years.
I would rather watch that, though.
Than a home run derby, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a home run derby is something you'll click and see how many home runs Mark McGwire got. Oh, okay. And you'll click. You'll go watch something, and then you'll click back. Oh, he got 15 now. Okay. But dunk contest, you're going to feel. You're going to, okay, what dude are going to do? Okay, you know, even though it's going to be whack, even though the dunk contest that went down, it's still better. I'd rather watch that than
And you got the anticipation, and you want to see the moment, man. And like I said that day, man, the dunk contest at its best, it can't be touched, man, as far as all-star activities, man. And that's football, basketball, baseball, anything. It can't be touched at its best. Vince Carter in the dunk contest kills anything.
Anything.
Sport is putting out there, man.
Anything, because I can remember exactly where I was, what I was doing, who I was with when that dunk contest came out, when he did that dunk, when he did that 360 windmill, that was it.
It was a done deal. It was a showcase for him. That's it after that.
But what he gonna do in baseball? Oh man, when he hit that 521 feet home run, woo!
I'm gonna say the boy Eastside Jam is gonna want to go in on us on this when I tell him how we rode on baseball today. He gonna want to go in because you know he's a baseball
to the fullest. We'll pop it up with him and see what he's talking about.
Yeah, man. But yeah, man, this is Speaking Like You Think It Radio. Your host Nas Know It All, and I'm joined by my man Ronnie from Memphis. Catch him on beattwice.net on the show, the Round Table. You can catch him on there spitting these same type of opinions, man. Letting it go, not caring about what other people think. Letting it go, man. That's what it's about, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, sir. Thank you for coming on today, man.
Thank you
to get up out of here. But, Speaking Like You Think It Radio, man, 3 times a week, man. Y'all can catch it, man. Download it to your iPod, man.
All right,
we out of here.
All right, peace out.
Peace out, man.